And she says, well, first of all, they're incredibly vain. They're fanatical about keeping their legs clean and will groom each other in order after a meal.
Ew. What are they running through the food?
No. Not your what? Meal.
Oh.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I want to kick off with this.
Yes.
This is my husband, Greg, sent this in. He is a fan of the show, and he has listened to every episode, sometimes twice. Most he said he listens to them twice.
Wow. He is really a super fan. Thank you, Greg.
And he knows how Katie feels about the expenses for other people's weddings.
I do feel strongly.
So he sent this in. It says, worst bride ever, woman's expletive lace wedding rant takes bridezilla to the extreme. So this is a Canadian woman. So she ranted about her wedding and how it wasn't going well on Facebook. So basically this bride, known as Susan from Canada.
Susan from Canada.
She planned a $60,000 fairytale wedding of her dreams.
Really?
$60,000? And asked guests to pay a fee each of $1,500 to attend.
Are you kidding me?
That's exactly. When guests refused to fork over the cash, Susan, as we're calling her, lashed out, leaving her fiancé and canceling the wedding. So the backstory of this woman is,
okay.
So she is, just a working class woman from like a small town somewhere. This is a guy who they've been together since like grade school. They've known each other. They got together in high school. They're high school sweethearts. They got married. She went to community college. She hasn't left her town. Like, none of these things to me sound very bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's her rationale for being like, you know what? I haven't had anything. I don't know if they have children or not. But anyway, they've been together for like 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally decide to get married. And she decides to follow the advice of a psychic she had been consulting. She said, since our love was not like a fairy tale, we wanted an extravagant blowout wedding. A local psychic told us to go with the most expensive option, and we thought, why the hell not?
And that local psychic laughed and laughed yes. like, I am going to make this woman lose her money because she's awful.
So it says here, well, the psychic did say something like, okay, you know what? Go ahead, have this expensive wedding and show people who you really are. The nuptials were called off 4 days before the big day took place after the pair couldn't afford to pay for the event they had booked. The woman took to Facebook to explain their decision, blaming guests for the broken relationship and the failed ceremony. Unfortunately, fiance, they don't put his name, and I have broken up due to some recent and irreparable problems. We decided to end our relationship and not to go forth with any future proceedings. I specifically asked for cash gifts. How could we have our wedding that we dreamed of without proper funding? We've sacrificed so much and only asked each guest for around $1,500 Canadian. I put the Canadian on myself. We talked to a few people who even promised us more to make our dreams come true. So she did kind of like a GoFundMe thing or something.
Are
like
you
that.
Kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, and she only got a couple hundred dollars. Since our love was a fairy tale, I said that. We just needed a little push. Our dream wedding amounted to $60,000. All we asked for was a little help from our friends and our family to make it happen. Seriously, people, what is $1,000? What is $1,500? Clearly not a lot. It would be quite manageable and within budget. I've heard of people asking for worse.
I can't. Even.
When
okay.
you get ready.
Okay.
Because if you couldn't with that, you definitely won't be able to with this either. When it became clear guests weren't going to pay to attend the ceremony, the bride-to-be's fiancé suggested, hey, why don't we go to Las Vegas to save money? So they already had $15,000 saved
mm-hmm,
up,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing.
Yeah.
Right? That's my wedding. I got married in New York City. I didn't spend that much.
Right, right.
And we had open bar.
All
right,
that's
that was
all that
most
matters.
Of it. That was the most of it.
It was just basically a room.
Yeah, it was just a tap.
A bar.
A tap and then a mat for you to lay down underneath the tap.
Yeah, right.
So when it became clear they were going to pay this fiancé, he's like, let's go to Las Vegas. She couldn't believe it. And she wrote, I laughed in his face. but he was dead serious. He wanted those cheap, filthy, and it says W*** like Vegas weddings. What is a bad word with that begins with W? That's
whore.
Oh, whore like?
Yeah,
that's not bad. Whore like maybe in Canada. I mean, what the F **? So we know what that is, right? Was he out of his mind? She wrote, "Am I some?" It's H*CH piece of fucking trash. What is the H?
Hooch
piece. I don't know. H*CH. I don't know. It's like a game show now.
Hooch.
That's what some hooch.
It's probably hooch.
Hooch. I guess that's really bad in Canada.
Yeah.
Some hooch piece of fucking trash. A hooker. Am I supposed to like the idea of getting married in the heart of shady gamblers, alcoholics, and the get-rich-fast fallacy? Suddenly, my body began to shake as I entered a panic attack. So first of all, like...
My body began to shake.
As I entered a panic attack.
At the thought of being around gamblers, alcoholics.
But the weird thing is, like, Greg and I go out to Las Vegas all the time. It's a great place to get married because you know what happens? After you have your wedding, you walk around the casino or wherever you are in your wedding dress and everybody, hundreds of people, you look beautiful, mm-hmm, congratulate. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Everything is there. Everyone can get there is a reason why a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a place to stay. You don't have to worry about the meals.
That's
you know
right.
What I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you can have this.
But it's not the heart of shady gamblers, alcoholics, and the get-rich-fast fallacy. Yeah, only if you have it at, like, Circus.
No. But it's like you pick the right place to have it. You don't have to.
They have, like, the reason why, if you ever go to Las Vegas, listeners, you won't see where the weddings take place because they are so far away from the casino action that you can't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're staying in a casino and you wander far away, you know where they have the... They do the conventions. They have the big ballrooms. It's like way past that. They have chapels, like non-denominational. It can be nice. It can be whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You could also go to a church in Las Vegas because they have those.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
So.
But the whole idea that she, first of all, has to have this fairy tale wedding.
Yeah.
She's probably so provincial that the thought of this kind of like a wedding of her dreams is something like she hasn't gone out and seen the world.
No.
And doesn't know. You can spend that money doing so many other things.
Yes.
Like just traveling or just like maybe get it down on the house. And that...
The interesting thing is that you bring up travel. So after she... what funds she did receive for the wedding, she used them. She left the dude and she went for a backpacking trip around South America. I think this woman really just needed to get out.
She needed to.
Yeah.
But the idea, like, thinking that anyone can fork over $1,000 or $1,500 for the wedding.
Yeah, and they're from a modest community, right?
And she said, that's nothing.
That's nothing. I think she's this is what happens when people watch too many shows about what a wedding is supposed to be like. And they're watching reality shows of wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need all of this stuff to have a really nice wedding. They already had, like, $15,000.
Yeah.
That could be if you did it in a rural area, you're talking about a phenomenal wedding or a smaller city, an incredible wedding. And I think that's a lot of money to spend.
It is a ton of money to spend. And just the idea that she was just very entitled and said that somebody else has to pay for this.
So she did a lot of this on Twitter and it went viral. Even some celebrities were weighing in on it.
Oh my God.
So people wrote in and said stuff like, I got a hand-me-down quote unquote massage stone for a wedding gift in a water damaged box. And I still wrote them a thank you. But this chick thinks $1,000 is reasonable.
Wow.
So people, you know, I hope this woman uses this for some much needed intensive therapy. If she thought community college was difficult, I wonder how she's going to deal with life as a single parent and no support system. Because she has children.
Oh, God.
With this guy. So she left her children and the husband and went backpacking.
But
after
they never got
refused,
married. So
it's
the boyfriend.
They didn't get married.
Yeah.
Or the boyfriend, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel bad. I mean, the guy said, hey, let's just do this anyway. Screw these people. And she was like, nah. I'm not a hooch.
So she thinks she's super classy and it's $60,000 to have the dignity of that kind of a wedding.
What? For $60,000? Like, where does the money go? I can't even imagine an event for $60,000. And it wasn't a lot of people she was inviting.
Wow.
So
she's
I don't.
Be like flowers. It's got to be music.
All the flowers.
Yeah.
Who it was alive? Like, I can't imagine spending $60,000 on a party.
Yeah. Well, she could imagine. Nobody else could imagine it either.
So now she's backpacking in South America. I hope she finds herself.
And if this ruined their marriage,
dodged a bullet.
He did. He totally did. He probably was like, you know what? If she's going to be this irrational.
How embarrassing, too.
About what how to throw a wedding or how to handle money or what to expect from other people. He probably sat there and goes, you know what? No.
Yeah, forget
I'm not
it.
Doing this.
He's like, good, enjoy. So her GoFundMe didn't work. And then she took to social media to berate people. God. It's so bizarre.
God.
I know. Anyway, I thought
but
you might enjoy
thing
that.
But on social media, she probably found a lot of sympathy, too.
No, she got picked up by all these. There's a lot of groups out there who hate marriages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not hate marriages, who hate weddings and who hate this kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. And they picked up on it and ran with it. They were like, see?
Yeah.
See what happens to people? So the ultimate bridezilla.
Mm.
Bizarre. Am I a hooch?
A whore-like?
Is that what
a
she thinks?
A whore-like wedding in Vegas
what's
amongst
a whore
the gamblers.
Like, but what's a whore-like wedding? Like, I'm imagining, she's thinking about Vegas, like, what, in the 80s or the 70s? Like,
she's so skewed. She has no, yes. She's 1 foot out of reality.
Las Vegas hasn't been seedy in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, what do you have?
Okay, I have another listener email.
Okay, cool. So if you want to interact with us via email, you can email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. We will not keep your email address or pass it on to anyone. We will not identify you.
Mm-hmm.
We will call you by an initial.
That's right. So we have an email from Sid.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
It's been a minute. What's going on, Sid?
All right. Hey, Katie. Hey, Jaquetta.
Hey.
Listening to your insect episode. So for all your listeners, we did this episode.
We did an insecticode.
Insecticode.
Yeah.
Sid says, after hearing the centipede horror story, had to chime in with a couple of fun facts that I learned while trying to rid myself of my phobia.
Of centipedes?
Yeah.
Okay, they're creepy.
The little bastards still creep the hell out of me, but at least I can appreciate them.
It's all the legs.
And she says, well, first of all, they're incredibly vain. They're fanatical about keeping their legs clean and will groom each other in order after a meal.
Ew. What are they running through the food?
No. Not your
what?
Meal.
Oh. No, they groom each other after they eat
after
their
they
meals.
After they eat their meals. And
they groom each other's feet.
Yeah. If you interrupt them, for example, by screaming.
as Sid does.
They will pause and then resume where they left off.
Ew.
She's like, I have personally observed this behavior.
Yes.
Two, they are nature's pest control, serious hunters. They have been observed holding prey in one set of legs while capturing more prey with another.
Wow. And they have a lot of legs.
They do. Three, they're good mothers. After a female centipede lays her eggs, she will wrap herself around them to keep them warm.
Okay.
In Japan, they're kept as pets.
I'm sorry, maybe we're not thinking about... I know there are many different kinds of centipedes.
Mm-hmm.
These are not the teeny tiny ones.
Not too tiny.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. If you are brave, the following link is of this centipede calmly munching on a fly kebab offered by a very patient person.
Excuse
and
me?
And there is a
Did
little
you watch
video.
The video.
I watched the video of the centipede eating a fly. Somebody is holding out for them.
Mm-mm. No, thank you.
Yeah.
What if they get ideas?
I know. That's...
You know what I mean? But thank you, Sid. That's
no,
some interesting
no, there's an article.
Oh, there's an
too.
Article. Oh,
yeah.
This is okay.
Yeah.
There's a thing that we see in New York. This is what the picture is. It's a centipede, but the legs are different lengths. So the front and the back, it's kind of like an array.
Yeah. Right? They're just the front ones and the back ones are incredibly long. The other ones are longer too, but it's like this giant.
And the ones that we see in New York, they're not flat on the ground. They're raised up a little bit.
They're like really like drag queen eyelashes.
Yes. They're like drag queen eyelashes on the run.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly what they look like.
Right. So, yes, and there's other centipede fun facts here.
Mm-hmm.
They're big on midnight snacking. They're okay. Mostly nocturnal animals.
Well, they need to be.
Hunters, rather. Which
Looking
explains
like that.
Why we encounter them when they were too sleepy to think calmly.
So we're flicking on the lights and like, son of a bitch!
Yeah, but they eat all sorts of stuff like termites, cockroaches, silverfish, ants, and spiders, as well as bedbugs.
Oh, really?
Bedbugs, people.
Okay, never again will I. I mean, I usually don't kill animals that I see in my apartment,
mm-hmm,
insects,
mm-hmm.
Unless it's a roach.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see a centipede, I will just calmly let him go about his business if he's going to eat other bugs.
Yeah, so this, I mean, they could be like a real
a
solution,
pesticide,
a solution to the bedbugs in New York and other major cities.
I didn't know that.
Centipedes
and the roach problem, just release the centipedes.
They also hunt their prey by leaping up on it or using their back legs. And technique described as lassoing.
I have never seen a centipede go for it like that. I guess maybe that's what the dance is about, you know, the centipede?
Yeah.
Where you jump to the floor.
Yeah. They're super fast.
I can attest to that.
They can reach speeds of 16 inches per second.
I'm sorry, that's not a real measurement for me.
16 inches a second. So that's a foot.
A foot?
Over a foot.
I call that a scurry. It's a full scurry.
Right.
In 1 second?
Wow. Yeah.
But apparently the human foot is faster.
I know, and heavier.
Yeah, and heavier.
Sometimes if they do bite, actually. Their fangs cannot pierce human skin.
Okay.
But if they kind of do a little bit, and maybe you get like a little bit of an allergic reaction.
Really?
Yeah.
I know that in the jungles there are some centipedes that are like huge. Yeah. And I think those can bite you. Mm-hmm. But I think we're talking about the common house,
North American centipede. We're not talking like jungle centipedes, rolling up on
And them. They have a different dance move as well.
Yeah.
The jungle centipede. Yeah.
But thank you so much, Sid, for sending these.
That's interesting.
Very interesting.
We want to know, Sid, did that help you get over your phobia? Like researching them? Because it did with me for monkeys.
Yeah.
So I researched monkeys. I looked at, when I was going to Costa Rica for the first time, I knew I would see monkeys. So I researched monkeys. I looked at pictures of monkeys. Like I watched short videos of monkeys. And then that kind of prepared me to encounter real monkeys.
So it was a kind of an immersion technique that you did where you kind of
slowly
got into different degrees of monkey.
And also I watched like YouTube videos of monkeys just like, you know, being monkeys, like mm-hmm. not like monkey shines.
Mm-hmm. No.
Not like Planet of the Apes, just like hanging out, mm-hmm. eating a banana.
Right.
You know, being with their young, things like that, non-threatening things. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
I did that with dogs.
Did it work?
Yeah. I mean, I
you weren't afraid of my dog. Oh, then that was hardly a dog.
Your dog is really cute.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was afraid of dogs. As a child.
I remember you were attacked by a dog.
Yeah, but I would physically shake and cry
mm-hmm. when you saw dogs.
And I couldn't be around dogs because I'd be a quivering mess on the floor.
I didn't know it was that bad. It seems like you're fine now with a dog.
Yeah, because I made myself. Huh. I made myself be around dogs to get used to them.
All right, cool. So I have a thing here from the ABA Journal. This is the American Bar Association. I thought it was interesting. Some legal news. Accused dine and dash dater is charged with felonies, but was it extortion?
Whoa,
so this is a man,
dash.
Paul Guadalupe Gonzalez, is 45-year-old, and he's known as the dine and dash dater. He's been charged with 10 felonies. For taking financial advantage of women who met on dating apps and websites. So basically what he'd do is he would meet a woman on like Plenty of Fish or Match.com. He would invite her out for a very expensive meal.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would cut out after eating the meal.
Are you kidding?
Leaving the women to pay the tab. 8 women paid the entire tab, but 2 instances the women complained and the restaurants were like, we'll pay the tab. This is ridiculous. This is in Los Angeles.
Did he do it at the same restaurant?
Different restaurants. So he is charged with 7 counts of extortion, 2 counts of attempted extortion, and 1 count of grand theft. All stem from the women's complaints, according to the felony complaint. He said he's not guilty. He's also charged with misdemeanor, separately, of defrauding an innkeeper. I love that term, innkeeper.
Yeah.
Defrauding an innkeeper and petty theft.
It's so quaint.
From restaurants that paid the check. And petty theft for leaving a hair salon without paying. What a piece of
just walking around getting POS services.
Dude, he's like short bag inside. See ya. How do you? I mean, the really?
How old is he?
45.
And he's doing this.
But you don't need these meals, and you don't need your haircut, and you didn't need to stay in that B&B. Like, if you don't have the money, forget it. So. One woman told the Washington Post that Gonzalez ordered chicken. This is for their date. 4 lobster tails.
4 lobster tails?
Expensive wine and a dessert at an L.A. restaurant in 2016. He then excused himself to make a phone call, and guess what?
He goes out the window.
He didn't return. The woman met, her name is Marjorie Moon, which is a cool name, met Gonzalez on Plenty of Fish. So the different excuses varied. The women said sometimes he said he had to go to the bathroom, or he said he had to get his phone charger. And one woman said that he left after she did not reciprocate his advances. So he tried it on with her. She was like, no. And he like busted out without paying the check.
Wow.
And
so how did they get all these women to like, were they in like kind of a focus group afterwards? Like,
They're saying it's extortion because he didn't threaten them or use overt force, but he was going to embarrass them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Imagine you're going out to a meal with somebody and you're having a wonderful meal, you're on a date, and the guy just disappears.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, then you kind of have to pay.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you know what
true.
I mean? Like, yeah. You don't have much of a choice. Like, what are you going to do? Like, screw the restaurant over?
Right.
So the reason why it's grand theft is because that they added up the total of all the meals that he skipped out on, and it was more than $9.50. So if it's over $9.50, it's continued to be grand theft.
I say
$950.
Oh, okay.
So,
but if it's over $5,000, then it becomes like a federal offense, and then
I guess
the FBI
yeah.
gets involved.
So this guy chomped down on over $950 worth of food and cut out on it. Plus the defrauding of the innkeeper and
the hair salon,
which is just low.
It really is.
I mean,
it's just
come on.
It's so unnecessary mm-hmm. and so just like.
He made, like, if you just want to have a meal, fine. For four lobster tails, chicken.
How much can he get away with?
Yes, how much can he get away with? Yeah. So the maximum penalty for the charges is 13 years. In prison. So dine and dash apparently is a serious thing. Not just the dine and dash, but the fact that he left those women on the hook.
Right.
And I bet you what the two restaurants that paid, they probably are in the suit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, theft of services.
Yeah.
Basically.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens to this guy. But it's like, come on, man. Like, you got your hair done and then you bust it out.
And then he's 45. He's like, I got to get in on this before
yeah.
I get too old.
So I understand there are a lot of scams online for dating, but getting a meal, that's
and
your end game?
The guys are doing this?
That's your end game? Lobster tails?
Or does he have some kind of twisted, like, psychological thing where he's like, women have been getting away with this for years, getting
But they don't run from the meal.
Yeah.
Like, he could at least give it up at the end of the meal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he's going with that route.
Yeah.
I know. You know? All right, what do you have?
They got the four R's.
The four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, repeat.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag #BunkLifeNYC.
I have barnyard news.
All right, barnyard news is a segment where we find news of animals in the barnyard, animals outside of the barnyard, and we report on here in the latest in barnyard news.
Yes. This is about an ant who attempted the world's tiniest diamond heist.
Okay.
This is really interesting.
Are you sure he was acting alone?
He was acting alone, and they have it on video.
Okay.
This, there is at a diamond exchange facility in New York City, this mm-hmm. gem dealer who had little tiny diamonds on his desk, like the little diamond chips,
mm-hmm.
and there came this ant walking across his desk, who promptly went over to the diamond and picked it up in its little claws and walked off with it. And they have it on, and he was filming him.
So he grabbed it by the mandible and just
yes, that's right.
sauntered off with it?
That's right, yes. The daring caper took place in plain sight.
Did the guy squash the ant? Or, like, was the ant prosecuted?
No, they just...
Is the ant available for comment?
So there are very small diamonds that can be seen on the desk blotter, and the camera zooms in, and you could... It's such unusual activity for an ant to pick up a diamond, because they always...
As far as we know.
They usually pick up food.
Uh-huh. Well, they've moved on. It's 2018. You know?
Right. And not only is the diamond much bigger and heavier than the ant, we all know that ants are very strong.
It has
and
no
they can
purpose
carry.
For the ant.
Right. But they kind of think that maybe the diamond had some, like,
some
residual
food
on it, which is disgusting.
But I'm sorry. I think this might, again, be one of these things where, well, we've never observed this behavior before, mm-hmm. so it's clearly brand new.
Yeah.
Maybe they just like a diamond.
Right.
Maybe he has a girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Dragging this
Oh,
thing.
My goodness. The picture of it is hilarious. It actually is an ant carrying a diamond that's bigger than it. I mean...
I think that's a great way to propose to somebody is to put this picture up. Will you marry me?
With that tiny-ass diamond? Well, you give them a magnifying glass. Like, don't burn the carrier.
Right.
I also see this as kind of a, you know, analogous to the dog ate my homework. Be like, I don't know where these diamonds went.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of ants here.
Yeah.
There's a trail of ants leading away from the diamonds.
Right. But if they use these little tiny diamonds for something...
And I bet you...
That gem dealer could be on the hook for these little tiny diamonds. What if they were supposed to be, like, put them in rings?
So, I mean, also, what if there's an anthill somewhere around this place that's just all amazing? It is encrusted with... And this was, like, the piece de resistance. This is, like, the, you know, like...
The final piece.
This is the final piece. And they're like, send Harry.
Yeah.
He'll do it.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't give a shit.
Their Aunt Lair...
Yeah.
...is totally, it's like, just blinged out.
Pimped out.
Yeah.
Right. What if they're making
gem dealers on the hook for these?
They have little chalices in there. They said another. I'd be like, "What about fur? Yeah, sounds fine. Gold, everything."
Or he wants to get engaged. This aunt.
I can't imagine how angry that jeweler must have been to see that shit and be like, "Son of a bitch!"
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Now I got to worry about this. Now I got to worry about this on top of everything else. That is awesome. Yeah. An aunt heist.
Yeah, I love it.
So, we don't really do celebrity news here anymore, but I just happened to run across this. It was also in the ABA Journal, and it was accompanied by a picture of... Have you seen Johnny Depp recently?
No. What's going on?
He's looking like John Waters a little bit.
No.
I don't know what... I think the years of drink have gotten to him. And you know he was a profligate spender.
Yeah.
Like, remember he was buying, like, small islands and, mm-hmm. like, castles and whatever. And I remember when that was going on that apparently his handlers or whoever were like, man, stop doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, Nicolas Cage did it, too. He started spending lots and lots of money, mm-hmm. like, buying, like, Batman number one, like, all this kind of stuff. So... This was in the Los Angeles judge ruled on Tuesday that actor Johnny Depp can void an oral contract with his former lawyer because California law requires contingency agreements. So he had like a handshake agreement with this mm-hmm. guy. Depp's oral 1999 oral agreement between lawyer Jacob Blum is voidable. So this guy, this lawyer has been representing him since 1999 doing work for him. Mm-hmm. Now that what I took from this, now that he's broke, he wants all the fees back that he paid this law firm.
Okay.
Depp maintains that Blum and his law firm were paid more than $30 million under an invalid oral agreement. Okay, it seems like a lot of money, but it's Johnny Depp. Imagine the kind of legal expenses.
Absolutely. You know? All the shenanigans he got involved in.
Yeah, some of these could have been criminal, you know, whatever, who knows, like contract stuff, mm-hmm. criminal defense stuff, matrimonial stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, these are
paternity
yeah. stuff, who knows, right? Blum, on the other hand, claims the contract is valid and Depp owes him money. So not only are we not giving you the money back that you paid us, you owe us money.
Wow.
He also claims that Depp ratified the agreement by continuing, and this is what I found interesting. So they didn't have a written agreement, but he continued to accept the services.
Wow.
So it's like if you go to the restaurant and you keep eating and you have an agreement that you're going to pay.
Yeah. Then yeah, that's what do you expect?
Yeah, what's the problem? Expect? Like, yeah. You got the food. Blum claims Depp ratified the agreement by continuing to accept legal services after settling a dispute with business managers over their failure to use written agreements with Blum and other professionals. Green said the judge said the oral contract can't be ratified unless there's a written agreement. Green's decision is prompting a reassessment of the handshake deal culture. So apparently in Hollywood, this is normal. Like if you're making a deal with your attorney, it's like, yeah, we're doing business together. We shake on it and your word is bond or whatever.
Right.
So they're saying now maybe we have to revisit that. Depp wants the return of all the legal fees paid. That's what I say. Only if they didn't, like, it doesn't sound like they did anything wrong.
Yeah.
They did the work. This is from 1999. And so they did almost 20 years of work.
And he accepted all the work that they did.
Yeah, he accepted the work.
And now he wants it back.
Because he's broke. So this, to me, he's probably one of these kind of people. I imagine if you went to Johnny Depp's house, there's nothing in there anymore. Yeah.
He's probably sold it all off.
Yeah, he sold everything. He's sitting on the floor. Or he's wearing his uniforms from, he's still dressed like a pirate.
Yeah.
Because that's what he has left. His stuff from costume that won't fit anyone else. And that's all it is. The California law does allow Blum to be paid a reasonable compensation. He claims he spent thousands of hours doing legal work for this dude.
Yeah.
Over the past 20 years.
I mean, but don't they have those billable hours, like, yes. on the books and like, what it was about?
Even more so, like, the work got done. So the contractual work, like, whatever it is that they were supposed to, they did it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's evidence of the work being done. Now he wants $30 million. Good luck suing a law firm, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's going to sue them?
I know.
Like, what attorney would...
is going to be like, yeah, I'll like, take that case.
Yeah, so it's like, so you're suing an attorney over the money that you paid to for him to do his job, and you want to hire me? I don't know about that. But the picture that I saw of Johnny Depp really... And I love John Waters. Mm-hmm. But to say that Johnny Depp looks like John Waters is just, you know, a statement I thought I'd never say.
Yeah. It's a drastic turn.
And I say that they almost look the same age now. Oh. And they're clearly not.
Yeah.
John Waters is much older than Johnny Depp.
What is Johnny Depp up to that he's looking this way?
I don't know. It looks to me like hard times. You know what I mean? Like substance abuse and just not taking care of the body.
Okay.
Because this is like compare and contrast him with someone like Tom Cruise.
Right.
Who... I don't know that much about Tom Cruise, but everything I've read about him, despite whatever you may think about his beliefs or whatever, it seems like he takes care of his body.
He does. He exercises. Yeah. He does
like he doesn't care smoke, yeah. drink. Like right. He seems like he's one of these kind of people that was like, look, it's 9:30. I need to get in bed because I need my beauty rest. Mm-hmm. Tom, got to look good. And he does look good.
He does look good.
He's not my type, yeah. But he looks good. Johnny Depp, on the other hand, like... I bet you Richard Grieco now is like, hey, hey. You guys made fun of me.
How do you like me now?
Yeah, I'm not a drunk. Didn't beat my wife, and I'm not suing my lawyers.
My nice skin.
Yeah, my nice skin. Smooth Grieco. All right, what do you have?
All right, so, you know, there's a lot of talk on Twitter and social media.
Sorry, I'm going to open a Fanta.
All right.
I'm really excited about this. It's a sugar-free, zero-calorie Fanta orange.
Fanta orange. Love it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going back to the 80s. All right, go ahead. Wolfpack.
So this is a thing, you know, with the... A lot of stuff is going on between...
Shit's going down between somebody.
Yeah, lots of people. And the idea... There's the Me Too movement. Yeah. There is a lot of people who have to face sexual harassment charges.
Yeah.
And it's kind of carried the conversation into, like... the behavior of men and this toxic masculinity.
Yeah. And men are talking about it now,
men
too.
Men are talking about it. And the idea that all these behaviors, people have been excusing, like saying, hey, I'm a guy, I'm a man, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a different time then, and that's what it was like, and everything was A-okay.
I can't wait till when we're old to tell people, no, it wasn't cool then, it's not cool now.
That's what I'm telling people now. Like, you know,
our mothers told us it wasn't cool then.
Yeah.
It's never been cool.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein said, oh, that's the way it was then. And it was like, no, men got away with that kind of behavior because there was nobody else to police them.
Yeah.
And it was, nobody was going to come down.
But it was never cool. And there were always, I bet you could find a lot of men too who were at the time like, no, this is not fucking cool.
It was never cool.
Yeah.
So what it is, so other men, not celebrities, all around the world, they're all questioning themselves, like, what is a man? And I even talked to other men, like, how do you define the traits of a man?
Mm.
And it was like, good question.
Yeah.
What do you do? How are you a man?
I don't be a dick. I don't know. I mean, it's very basic, but.
Yeah.
Golden rule, treat others, right? Yeah. How you would like to be treated.
Yes. So they're also finding a lot of men have emotional issues, mm-hmm. that they're not really exploring that their emotions and feelings.
But also, too, like going back to the question of what does it mean to be a man, like I feel like a lot of guys nowadays don't know how to do shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like they don't know how to fix anything, mm-hmm. make anything. You know what I mean? Like all those like hunt, those skills that they might have put with traditionally male things for actions, mm-hmm. that don't necessarily have to do with women are kind of gone.
Yes.
So it's like, now what?
Yeah. It's you know like, what I mean? Really.
Is it manly to be coding all day?
Right.
You know, I'm not saying it is or isn't, but...
Push paper around a desk.
Yeah, pushing paper around.
Is that manly? Like,
yeah.
How are you going to be a man and assert yourself?
Yeah,
and,
you're a massage therapist. Now what?
Right.
You know?
So, but there's... So men are behaving in such ways to prop themselves up, to have self-esteem, to have confidence,
sure.
to show where their place.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't necessarily, they're not doing it in healthy ways.
Yeah.
So these men, it's
why doesn't the healthy stuff come out?
I don't know.
You know, why aren't there a bunch of guys who are like, you know what, I'm going to build a canoe.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to put my energy into.
Okay, so they have a thing called Wolfpack. It's a community of social support by creating space for the conversations that men don't normally have.
Okay. So this is a men's group.
This is a men's group. And they dive into topics around the pillars of self-acceptance, mm-hmm. esteem, love, and awareness.
I know nothing about this. I could be quite honest with you because I don't have brothers and I didn't grow up with my father mm-hmm. around. I have quite a few male cousins, but we don't really get into these kind of issues. I don't think about this stuff. I have no idea. If you ask me what is a man, I'd be like, I don't know, that dude over there.
Yeah, it's just based on gender. But yeah. what does it mean to be a man? These topics, like there's mental health, emotional and physical health, others like inclusiveness of other people, diversity, empathy, and relationships, like. All these topics are going to be explored now mm-hmm. in this setting called Wolfpack.
Oh, my God. To be a fly on the wall of Wolfpack.
Yeah, so it's a brave space and...
It's online?
No, it's in face-to-face.
Oh, it's actually a...
It's an actual group, I think,
where of men getting together to talk to men. I'm all for men getting together to talk to other men. I think that's wonderful.
I think it is.
Because I think a lot of guys don't have an opportunity to do that. I feel like a lot of guys are isolated.
Yeah. So they believe, this group believes in engaging, educating, and empowering their peers. Mm-hmm. So the next generation of men will make a positive impact on their communities.
Wow. I never thought I'd live to see the day. Who's running this group?
This is Canada.
Of course.
It's in Canada.
I knew it, eh?
Yeah, but next gen men, creating brave spaces for conversations about masculinity.
That's cool.
I think that's really cool, but I don't know what the answers are.
I don't either.
Because so many of these things about your health and empathy and relationships and diversity, that's for everybody.
And it's not even explored, I think, in television and film. Mm-hmm. Because that's where sometimes you can glean a lot of information about groups that you're not necessarily mm-hmm. a part of. So, like, maybe I don't understand the immigrant experience. Mm-hmm. But I've seen enough films about it. I've talked to some people about it. Like, there's more conversation and access to that. About being a man? I don't know.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
And someone asked me, what's a man? Liam Neeson? The characters he plays? I don't know.
That's a really, masculinity, that's like a hetero masculinity.
Yeah.
But other men are men, but they're gay.
Yeah, but they can still be totally butch like Liam Neeson.
Right.
They can wrestle a wolf after their planes crashed.
Right.
In Alaska. I mean, they, I don't know. Interesting.
It is.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with that.
I am glad too, but it's something that's happening.
No, I think it's good.
I'd love to hear what the definition is because they've defined what is a toxic. Yeah. Masculine.
But what's
trait,
a non-toxic
masculine? And nobody
trait.
Knows.
I don't know. I guess I think about the kind of men that I grew up with because it's a rural thing also. Mm-hmm. All the men that I grew up around, regardless of how they behave, their orientation, they all were guys who knew how to do a lot of things, mm-hmm. how to fix a lot of things. Not that the women didn't, because they did too, but it was just like things that they learned from their fathers. Mm-hmm. And this is what they did when they got together. They get together and fix a car. Right? Or they get together and, do something on a farm. Mm-hmm. Or they'll get together and go fishing. These were the things that they did. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much conversation was going on during these things. Maybe there was some, maybe there wasn't. But, that's a part of my definition of positive masculinity. Right. It's like guys doing things together.
I think so.
Creating things, making things.
But that helps build their emotional and mental... kind of health.
Yeah. All right, cool. So speaking of wolf, I'd like to report that on August 29th, some wolf pups were spotted by a camera in Oregon's Cascade Mountains, a remote camera in Warm Springs Indian Reserve. It was about 10 miles south of Oregon's highest mountain, captured image of two wolf pups, on August 10th. According to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, which they made an announcement. The website shows the photo taken of a wolf sitting in the grass looking at two pups, wolf pups. One of the pups is looking straight into the camera and sniffing it. So we have confirmation that wolves are back.
Yay!
They were gotten rid of, we hunted them to what we thought was extinction. Mm-hmm. And apparently they haven't been around for 60, 70 years. And now the wolves are coming back. So wolves are protected in the area. But as per usual, they're like, well, one of my livestock was being killed by a wolf. Well, yeah, you left it outside. You left some good meat outside. And even so worse.
You left it and it was chained to the post.
Yeah.
So, it couldn't get
so
away.
Even worse, you kind of almost wrapped it up for the wolves.
Yeah.
Right. That's what happens. So they're, they also have some instances of wolves being poached, but despite being supposedly wiped out and despite the poaching and all the harassment that's going on, the wolves are back. Yes.
Oh, they're back, and I say take over.
Yes, and you know what?
Because us humans are not doing a good job.
If you see one wolf, that means there's more.
Of course.
Okay, because there's a wolf with two pups. Guess what? She didn't do it herself.
I'd rather have more than one wolf around than more than one roach.
Yes.
Or
yes.
A dude.
More than one. All right, so what do you have?
Well, your husband sent an email with a link, and he was just like, pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, so we have a segment we call Tales from Dirt Campfire, and usually Tales from Dirt Campfire is a segment we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, scary stories, folklore.
Ghost stories, that kind of thing.
All kinds of stuff like that, and we retell them here on the Digital Campfire. But Greg found something that I was like, this is just really freaky.
Yeah, so
gather around,
listeners. Yeah. This is a true tale.
Yeah, it's a true tale.
This is also what would you do?
Kind of
a story.
What would you do?
So Greg sends this link, a YouTube link, where a woman with just a T-shirt on and handcuffs comes to somebody's door in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. and knocks on the door, is pounding on the door, and you could see the video footage. This is the thing that actually happened where. The person who owned the home had a camera set up, and they could see people outside. I think they had Ring. That was that.
Yeah, everybody's freaked out. White people are scared in their homes.
Yeah, well, now for good reason.
Yes, because of this.
Because this, what would you do if a stranger with shackles hanging off their wrists?
Yeah, like shackles, people.
Real shackles.
Yeah.
In a T-shirt only. Mm-hmm. Came running out.
And she looks like her hair is stringy. She looks distressed. Possibly strung out.
Right. And she's also looking behind her a lot, looking for somebody who is in the picture. But
yeah, she thinks it appears as though she's being chased.
Yes. And would you open the door for this person?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And then there's another one where another woman comes to the door and she's pounding on the door and the window. Let me in. Let me in.
Would you let them in?
Would you do this?
No.
And this
is
all on video.
The videos are creepy. You can see them. I was thinking about this. I mean, we were always taught, because I live out in the country, if it's like a child or something like that, let them in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If it's an adult, wait on the porch. Call 911.
Right.
You know?
You tell the person to wait on the porch, and you call 911.
Unless they're, like, bleed. You know what I mean? Unless they're going to, like, die, mm-hmm, they're bleeding, or like, you know. But this woman was scared. Mm-hmm. She was running from something, but there was no indication from the videos that she was about to die.
Yeah, right. And there was another one where a woman ran up on the porch and was like, help me, let me in, and a man came up and dragged her away by her hair. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's all crazy stuff. I still wouldn't let anybody in.
No.
Have you ever been in a situation where someone was on the other side of the door in a menacing way?
No, I think I have not. I think that's never happened to me before.
I've had that happen.
What did you do? Did you put up a chair?
I heard somebody was ringing my bell in my apartment in the middle of the night in a snowstorm.
Mm-mm.
And this person had the key to the building and they kept coming in and they would stand by my door and look directly like at my door so I could see them right through the peephole staring.
Wow.
And then walking away and then going outside and ringing the bell again. And then coming back up and standing there.
What'd you do?
Called the cops.
Did they come right away? This is the thing. The cops don't come right away.
They don't come right away.
Yeah.
And then
they wait till the crime has been committed.
Yeah.
And then they show up.
Yeah. Because there was snow. They apparently drove by, but they didn't get out because there was snow.
Great. Because there was snow.
And so the guy went out again and then got himself locked out because whatever he did with the key, I don't know what, and started ringing other people's bells.
What?
To get back in.
That's scary.
And my other neighbor, who was huge, came out and
took care of the situation.
Helped take care.
See, where I'm from, because I'm from a rural area, that kind of situation usually ends with somebody getting shot through a door.
Yeah.
Because what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
There's 911, but it's going to be like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
30 minutes.
There's
no one around. This person's determined to get
in. Yeah, really scary, but the feeling is when you're looking through your peephole at somebody outside
somebody else's
your door
eye,
that shouldn't be there. It makes your blood run cold.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's one of the scariest things. I would never open a door.
I live in a building where our door, this is weird because when I first bought my apartment, is one of the things that our doors, good luck. Good luck getting there. It's an old pre-war building. Those things are super solid. Like, we have multiple locks on it. So what happened in this situation?
No, they just really showed the video, and they were asked, they got a security expert on to say, to give his opinion on what you should do in this situation.
What'd they say?
And they just said, really, just call.
Call 911 and wait. Yeah, yeah. I wonder what it was.
They didn't really say, though, what was wrong with these people, but...
Wow, that's creepy.
It was really creepy. So thanks, Greg. Scaring the hell out of me.
Thank you. I think I told him not to send that one.
Yeah.
And he sent it anyway. So I have a thing here. This is, I was reading about, you know, robots and jobs related to robots. Mm-hmm. And I came upon this LinkedIn post calling, and this is in London, a company named Anki, A-N-K-I, is looking for people who are interested in being a robot life coach.
A robot life coach.
So they're trying to train robots. It says, do you have an affinity for robots? Do you love playing with robots? And would you like to discover what they are truly capable of? This sounds like a threat.
This is...
Do you want to help them realize their full potential? Well, that could soon be a reality because we're looking for robot fans to do exactly that. So this is a job for someone who's supposed to have a robot live with them. And they're going to interact with the robot and they're going to help train it. Consumer robotics and AI company, Anki, is looking for a new member of the team. That's you, our robot life coach, to help them put their robots to the test.
No thanks.
Mm-mm. All Anki's robots have been thoroughly tested in their lab, but your job is to put them to the test in the real world. And then it says, the robots are alive with personality. No.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not,
it's just
alive,
a program.
They don't have personality.
They don't have personality. Highly intelligent, and again, depending on what your definition of intelligence is, and aware of the surroundings, again, depends on what your definition of aware is, through touch, sight, and sound. This role needs someone willing to commit to having a robot as a part of their lives, and then assessing how they react in a range of home-based scenarios.
No. No.
No.
This is all testing people.
It's all testing people. Anki's robots have a unique personality and emotion engine. So part of your role will be to monitor how they respond to varying levels of human interaction. Do they get excited when they meet someone new or sad when you beat them at a game of blackjack?
Do they get sad? No, they don't.
No, they don't. They don't have no feelings whatsoever. I find this interesting because we have grown up where I remember having something like robots in the early 80s, like the toys.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was always, and we grew up with computers like the Commodore, Apple 64, all the new technology that, you know, now people have forgotten about. But at that time, we were always told, these things are just tools.
And they were,
and that's what I still believe that. These are just tools. There's no personality, feeling,
and we were
emotion.
The masters
of them.
And they were just something that we used, like you said, a tool.
Yeah, like
and
a microwave.
And it was never like they...
Or a friend.
Or they were the solution to the problem.
Yeah.
They were just another
thing. They're like a jackhammer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I need to get something done. I need a tool to do it. It says, the robot's advanced tech means they can see and hear people and recognize different faces and respond to voice commands. So you'll need to test their accuracy and ability by introducing this robot to as many friends as family as possible.
No.
If you have a robot like this in your house, you do not invite me over.
And introducing it. Well, look how they're pushing you
yeah.
to, like, really get it
but
around
also,
to as many humans as
aren't
possible.
Aren't they just taking information about everyone?
Yes, and that's why they're, like, introduce it to everybody and it's your friend.
Let's be clear that this robot does have a master. And it's this company. Dude, it's not, you know, like this program, this robot is a tool of this company to do something. I don't know what it is they're trying to do, but whatever. These robots are more than just fun sidekicks. Well, they're not even that. They'll need to be put to task improving your productivity. So now I'm going to teach them to do my podcast? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, what
or like
you,
teach
what?
My class? No.
You know, you can do everything. The only
I'm
things
fine.
You really need... Or someone to clean your house.
Yes, and I have someone who does that.
Yeah.
And she does a great job.
And then what else can a robot do? That's all I need.
I don't know. I have a lot of, you know, like, I don't like to brew my own coffee. I have a coffee maker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, but that's just
I have
a machine.
Toaster.
Those
yeah.
are machines. We just need, like,
yeah.
but a robot. You don't need it for anything.
No, I don't need a robot for anything. Not that I can think of. It says here. Whilst Anki's robots are small, they are built to be strong, smart, and sturdy. So you'll need to make sure they won't buckle under the pressure of extreme environments, from the hottest climates to the highest heights and the trickiest terrain. So I got to take this thing on vacation now in the countryside. You will need to be firm but fair with the robot. No, you don't need to be either with them.
No.
You treat it as you would treat this microphone or your laptop or a toaster. to make sure they live up to their full potential.
You don't need to.
You don't need to do that either.
Why would you buy a robot and treat it like put all that emotional work into it?
I have no idea. So yes, yeah, it's a robot life coach, part time role to be mutually agreed upon by appointment. What we're looking for: a passionate robot fan who isn't afraid to hold back when it comes to putting a robot through its paces.
I think this is terrible.
Do your own fucking quality assurance. Yeah. Someone willing to provide honest, objective feedback on the capability. A tech lover with a vision of what makes a great home robot. Someone with the latest tech at home? Question mark. So I guess this robot does know how to proofread. A strong team player who will be able to build relationships with robots and work collaboratively. I think there's no pay.
There's no pay, and it's because these IT guys, not say guys, who are making the robots...
don't know how to do any of these things.
Yeah.
They can't even interact with a robot.
Yeah. So they're going to be like, we need somebody who acts semi-human to be with this robot.
Again, I was thinking about it today because they keep coming up with robots that can make pizza and make a burger. We don't have problems with these. You know what we do need some AI and some robots for? The MTA. Like, is that something that robots can get on fixing these tracks? Can they use AI to figure out a way to get these trains running on time? Like, these are pain points.
Yes, and you can get them to fix the water main breaks. Yeah. The 18 in the summer alone.
Not, I don't have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or more specifically, I don't have a girlfriend.
Or I don't have a friend who will just do what I say.
Yeah.
Or a girlfriend who will just do what I
mean,
I say.
I'll tell you, my kind of thing would, if I had a robot, first of all, I don't think I will ever have a robot. But if I were, for some bizarre reason, forced to have one in my home, I'd be like, turn yourself off, go fuck off somewhere. Put yourself in the closet. Can you charge anything? Like, oh, that might be good
you
for charging
what? That
things.
Would be terrifying if, like, the robot was, like, programmed in a way, I'm in the closet, I need to come out. And I'm, like, over at your place and I hear the robot saying that. Knocking from the inside of your closet.
Yeah. Also, all of these other things, like the security and stuff like that, ain't nothing in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not worried about that. Like, I don't need a robot guard.
Yeah.
I can make my own food. I really can't think of what I would need a robot for. And in my pre-war apartment, is a robot really even going to be able to function in there? The stuff is so analog.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying I have just a sundial for a clock, but it's like that.
Pretty much.
You know, like, there's the most advanced thing in my apartment, besides the laptop, is maybe, I don't know, my TV.
Right.
DVR.
And that's it. And it goes down from there.
Yeah. It goes down from there. Like, even my coffee pot, it just goes directly on the flame.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just very basic. I have a blender.
That's all.
Yeah.
What else do you need, really?
I don't know. And nothing in my house is quote-unquote smart. Like, for the air conditioner, you have to get up, turn it on, turn it off. Well, there's a remote, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of things in my apartment. You mentioned they have dials.
Yeah.
You know what that means.
Get up.
Yeah, you gotta get up
and do it yourself.
Which is fine, because when I get home, I don't need to be a sloth.
Yeah. Right, you don't want a robot around there to turn dials for you?
And I understand that it may be helpful in the sense that for someone who has mobility issues,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, we can't just leave people alone all the time either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like, like human contact is important.
There's too much loneliness.
Yeah, I feel like they'll use robots to be like, okay, we don't want to deal with you. We fitted up your apartment so you can deal with it. Here's a robot. Now fuck off.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I think there was some kind of article about living alone in big cities like New York, and people don't see people.
Yeah.
Even in one of the most jam-packed cities in the world.
Yeah.
Working from home.
Yeah. It happens to me when I work from home some days. That's why I joined a shared office space.
To get out a little bit.
To get out on those a couple of days when, I could be working at home. But it's like, I do want to be around people. Like, I'm not that social in a lot of ways, but... Come on.
You need to get out. Yeah. Or else you start getting weird.
You get weird.
Yeah.
Right. You get weird real fast. Imagine how weird you get with a robot.
Yeah, because it's you endow them with these human qualities.
Mm-hmm. Like, and they just go along with whatever you say.
Yeah, you're so stubborn.
Yeah. You're like, the Fomenko timeline, yes, I love it. It's great.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.